This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 Monday afternoon, February 26th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. The Chicago Fire soccer team finds itself a part of the White Sox and Bears stadium discussion. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, the latest report on new home sales is out today. While the week ahead will include fresh data on consumer confidence and gross domestic product, plus more key earnings reports, we're joined by Tom Hudson, financial journalist in Miami, Florida. Tom, thank you for joining us today. Let's begin with the Conference Board releasing Consumer Confidence. That comes out tomorrow. And is this going to be another gauge of where gas prices are nationally, or are there other factors at play?
Yeah, there's always a pretty significant component in what they call the present situation index when it comes to gas prices, because that's where inflation shows up fastest and perhaps most tangibly with consumers. I think the expectations index really is, you know, what does my paycheck look like over the next couple of months? What odds do I have about keeping my job, looking for a new job, getting a raise in the job that I have? What are my expenses looking like? That expectations index has been rising, which is a sign of confidence. But I'll say it's tempered, of course, by fluctuations in gas prices, by food inflation that many Americans continue experiencing and rightfully complaining about.
And the numbers have suggested that the price of food is still rising at a pace we have not seen since the early 1990s. So, as you say correctly, that sticker shock is real. And there have been indications that there are two reports that came out that said there was a pickup in inflation. And is that going to show up in the consumer confidence numbers?
It certainly may. You know, when we're seeing these inflationary figures, and we're hearing the talk about the Federal Reserve, and we're hearing talk from politicians as this is a big election year, talking about how inflation has cooled, inflation has cooled. That is true. But yet it's still inflation, right, Rob? Like, prices are still climbing uncomfortably higher compared to where they were a year ago. And that's when consumers are looking at those bank accounts, when they're looking at those monthly bills and looking at that paycheck and saying, am I really getting ahead here at the end of the month?
And of course, I mean, this is something that's been going on for a very long time. I'm sure you've seen this on social media as well. Every now and then someone posts a list of prices from 1970. And of course, you know, gas was 30 cents a gallon back then.
Right,
and inflation has slowed down, but we haven't rolled the clock back 54 years.
No, I could get a pint of beer for 60 cents on Tuesday nights in the early 90s when I was going to college, right? Like, $6 may be the happy hour special these days. We're not going to roll back to those prices. The question really is this push and pull between overall price trends and, of course, wages and paychecks for Americans.
And then very quickly, February 28th, fourth quarter gross domestic product, the second read on economic activity at the end of last year. It was a stronger number than expected the first time around. What can we see later this week?
I think by the time the shock and awe that the economy was better than expected in the last 3 months of the year than most were figuring is kind of over. You know, the way to look, I think, at this GDP figure is on the second estimate, this revision estimate, is that strength continuing, and where is that strength coming from?
Tom Hudson, financial journalist in Miami, Florida, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, how the Chicago Fire fits into the White Sox and Bears stadium equation.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A proposal involving a new White Sox ballpark in the South Loop includes a move by the Chicago Fire to their current stadium at 35th and Shields. Let's discuss this angle with Danny Ecker, reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Danny, thank you for joining us today. Lots of angles. Lots of interested parties as the White Sox try to maneuver into getting a stadium in the South Loop. The most recent development today coming from Governor Pritzker saying he's reluctant at the idea of providing $1 billion stadium subsidy for the White Sox to build that facility in the South Loop. But the other wrinkle, though, Danny, is the fact that the Chicago Fire are being included in some of these plans, and the Chicago Fire may not know they're being included in some of these plans.
Yeah, basically, I mean, the Fire have sort of thrust into this situation in recent weeks as we started to see more details publicly about what the White Sox and developer Related Midwest want to build on the 78, the site in the South Loop. And it's sort of almost as an afterthought, but, you know, among all the different pretty pictures and ideas about public subsidies was the idea that the Fire, which, of course, play at Soldier Field today, would play their games in the future at a redeveloped guaranteed rate field, which would be turned into a soccer stadium. And we haven't really heard from the Fire about that yet. And so finally, we're at least hearing from the Fire to say that they haven't really had any serious talks about that. They've had a casual conversation, and basically is how they described it with Related Midwest about the idea of it. And the Fire are kind of looking at this saying, well, there's different ways this could play out, whether that's with the Sox and guaranteed rate field or somehow pairing with the Chicago Bears if they build a new stadium downtown. They're not really sure what their fate lies here, but they are sort of just kind of looking and seeing, hey, is there a way that they either get forced into doing something or maybe find some leverage out of it from different teams and stadiums that want them as a tenant?
And this is not exactly a new idea. If you go down to Dallas, and where they recently built a stadium to replace their 90s vintage ballpark, college football and soccer moved in to the former ballpark at Arlington. So that's one way of reusing these facilities. But the fact that the financing has not been nailed down, the fact that some other components of this plan may not know they're a part of it, indicate that maybe this is too fast, or that the parties involved weren't necessarily prepared.
Well, it certainly suggests that there's a lot of work to do between, you know, the idea of this being floated for the White Sox, at least, and there being a solution that involves a lot of different parties. I mean, I think that's one piece to this puzzle, just on top of how difficult it would be to get lawmakers to sign off on, you know, $1 billion plus in future tax proceeds for a new stadium, is that you have to figure out what to do with guaranteed rate field, a taxpayer funded stadium that I don't think any elected official wants to just walk away from without figuring out a new use for it. So, you know, getting the Fire to play ball where they potentially involve the Chicago Red Stars, the National Women's Soccer League team that now are also saying today that they'd like to be in on the stadium talks, whether that's with the Fire or by themselves. So there are other parties involved here that make this just a complex and fast moving discussion.
I mean, it seems like the $1 billion plus subsidy that Jerry Reinsdorf is asking for is a non-starter in Springfield. A lot of lawmakers are saying no. Governor Pritzker is saying, come back to us with a better proposal. They're not the threat for the next owner to move the White Sox apparently is falling on deaf ears. Where does this thing land? Do the Sox build the stadium? Do they redevelop Bridgeport? What's a possible resolution here?
I think anybody who tells you they know how this is going to play out is just making it up, because this is a really difficult thing to predict with all kinds of moving pieces. And, you know, we obviously have the Sox have a lease that has, you know, a few more years left. And, you know, what could they need to buy more time by extending that lease? Who knows? Depends on how the political winds change. And, of course, in the meantime, we have a downtown Chicago that's looking for foot traffic and looking for new investment. So there are reasons to believe that there could be an investment in a stadium or multiple stadiums that could bring people downtown on a consistent basis. So it's very difficult to predict this, but
there are obviously a lot of fast moving pieces here, as I mentioned, and we're going to keep watching. There's every day there's going to be, it seems like there's another wrinkle to this.
Danny Ecker, reporter, Crane Chicago Business. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, getting a handle on your numerous online accounts.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Most people have an average of 100 online accounts covering everything from savings and investments to billing and personal items, and it's in your best interest and your family's to know exactly what they are. Let's get some help from Bill Uliveri, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview, of the website senecalcapital.com. Bill, thank you for joining us today, and it seems like there are two important reasons for getting a handle of all of your online accounts, and the first one is just basically for you, because there are probably some online accounts that you don't remember having.
Rob, absolutely. I mean, I'm going on 38 years of marriage this year, and my wife and I have this perfect division of labor where I deposit my paycheck and she takes care of paying the bills. And while she had a little accident in December, you know, it delayed the paying of, you know, cell phone, gas bills, electric, you know, credit cards. So while we were always focused on me, I was always focused on, you know, me providing her my credentials. The truth is I needed credentials from her. And so there's two parts of this equation. There's what I would call the sharing of credentials so that my wife and I can share whenever we want in case there's a problem. And then the other issue is the legacy after one of us passes away. How do you get those credentials into the hands of someone that you love? Because there's a lot of complexity here between state law, federal law, and the technology companies, you know, terms of service that you agree to. Not that anybody reads them, but you agree to the terms of service when you have a Facebook or Twitter or Netflix account.
But at the same time, you know, it's prioritizing which ones are absolutely necessary. I mean, obviously, you'd give your spouse or your partner access to all the social media accounts, but a lot of it is retirement accounts that you are actively managing. Maybe they're retirement accounts from two or three jobs ago. So how do you go about conducting this thorough audit for yourself, even before you talk about passing on those contacts to the person who to your survivor?
Well, technology makes it kind of easy now, Rob, and that is you can use a program like LastPass or Bitwarden, and I can begin creating and compiling a list of username, passwords, and then the URL, the location of that. And then I can just send a link or an invitation to a loved one that I can then give permission to start sharing this credential. And then you can also sync up all your devices, like my computer, her cell phone, my cell phone, the kid's cell phone. Like, we can begin sharing and encrypting, right? The program encrypts all this data so that it doesn't really get into the wrong hands. And again, you know, most of this data really breaks down into three areas. And this was discussed during the Fiduciary Access to Digital Acts Law. And that is, it's communication, like all our emails and text messages, our content, like videos, pictures, and files, and our property, like money, banking, and cryptocurrency. So start someplace, start in one of those three areas, and begin keeping track using an old-fashioned pen and paper and a legal pad, someplace safe, so that you can at least begin getting started and figuring out where these things are.
Bill Uliveri, owner of Senecal Capital Management in Glenview. Find him online, senecalcapital.com. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, an update on a proposed merger involving a large grocery chain, plus a couple of suggestions from our Monday stock picker.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date.
Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station. News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Police at Northern Illinois University look into a bomb and active shooter threat. Cases at the Supreme Court will impact the future of social media in the U.S. Federal regulators sue to block the merger of grocery giants Kroger and Albertsons, which could impact shoppers at Jewel, Mariano's, and other stores. It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get some ideas from a portfolio pro. Business. Markets have now turned lower. The Dow is down 54 points. The NASDAQ is down 5. The S&P 500 is down 13. 61 degrees right now under partly sunny skies, going up to 69. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. Police at Northern Illinois University say they don't believe a threat of violence received this morning is credible. A heavy presence of officers was seen on campus after an anonymous email made claims about a bomb and an active shooter. NIU Police Chief Darren Mitchell says the investigation is ongoing. The Supreme Court is scheduled this week to hear two similar cases involving control of social media content. The CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum weighs in on the issues.
Texas and Florida are essentially saying companies like YouTube and Facebook are not like newspapers that create content and therefore are allowed to have whatever opinions they wish. They are common carriers like railroads that give people access to travel and can't discriminate against certain people. The internet is the new public square, and you have to allow everyone to stand on a soapbox.
The Texas and Florida laws in question were originally passed in 2021. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets have turned lower. We welcome in Paul Nolte, Senior Wealth Advisor and Market Strategist at Murphy & Silvest in Chicago. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like even though the markets are slightly lower, they're just taking a breather after last week's wild swings.
No, they are. And I think a lot of it is going to be tied to what's going on this week. We're going to get a lot of economic data. We'll again get a lot of Fed speak. We're seeing two parts of the market, though. We're seeing the bond market reacting a little bit to maybe not as many rate cuts as we originally thought at the beginning of the year. But the equity markets are, I think, beholden to or certainly captured by the artificial intelligence talk. And NVIDIA being the poster child of that with a huge run last week. So I think there's still some knock-on effect, if you will, for the equity market for investors there. But I think it's time for a break. We've certainly seen a huge rally over the last 15, 16 weeks. So it wouldn't surprise me for the markets to take this week off, as it were.
And the week ends with another look at inflation, and this time it's the Fed's preferred inflation gauge. So that has the potential to move markets, especially if the PCE number lines up with the warmer inflation readings we saw earlier in the month.
And that's what has moved the investors from 6 rate cuts this year to 3. And that's going to be the tough one, because we take a look at inflation generally sticky around that 3% level. Economic growth has been very strong. And in general, monetary policy, when we look at financial stresses, et cetera, are very, very low in this market. So it gives us the thought that the equity markets can rally for a while yet, but inflation is going to be the key to whether the Fed moves or does not. There's starting to be some concern that maybe the next move by the Fed is a rate increase if inflation stays well above that 3% level.
Now, today's the day that there was a shakeup in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, Amazon in, Walgreens out. And generally, I mean, not talking about specifically Walgreens stock itself, but generally what happens to a company when they are moved out of the Dow? I mean, how do markets react initially and then after that?
Yeah, initially you wind up with a lot of index funds that have to replace Walgreens with Amazon. So DIA is an ETF that follows the Dow Jones Industrial. So for them, they will have to buy Amazon. They will have to sell Walgreens. Part of the reason why Walgreens is down a little bit today. Beyond that, once they are then into the various ETF indices, then you wind up seeing, in fact, historically speaking, those that have been removed from the Dow Jones actually do a little bit better than those that get added, because those that get added tend to be popular. Those that get removed tend to be out of favor. And you actually see a little bit better performance from those that are removed. Not always, but in general, that's been the case over the last 20, 25 years or so.
And then lastly, let's talk about psychological barriers, and even for the fact that markets are lower today. The Dow is now above 39,000, and the S&P 500 is comfortably above 5,000. And what does that mean for investors, if anything at all?
I don't think too much. I mean, you know, when people talk about, you know, 5,000 being an important level, or, you know, how long does it take to get to 5,100, et cetera, you're talking about smaller and smaller percentages. So I think it's really more how much does the market move in percentage terms than the absolute value. So I think investors have over the last few years, at least, started to shift their thought process more to percentages than the actual dollar amount or actual index level.
Paul Nolte, Senior Wealth Advisor and Market Strategist at Murphy & Silvest in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, there are orange cones up in the merger aisle for Kroger and Albertsons.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Federal Trade Commission is seeking to block the proposed merger of Jewel parent company Albertsons and Mariano's owner Kroger. Let's get the latest now from Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com. Based in Los Angeles. Phil, thank you for joining us today. This merger was announced in October of 2022, and it appeared that they were almost on the one-yard line. They had gotten to the point where they had a divestiture plan that the parent company of Piggly Wiggly was going to take over some of the stores that were spun off in Chicago. And now, is there a good chance that this merger is scuttled entirely?
Yes, Rob, there's no question about it, because when you look at the filing today of FTC, and by the way, attorney generals of Arizona, California, District of Columbia, Illinois, Maryland, Nevada, New Mexico, Oregon, and Wyoming are also part of this lawsuit. Basically, what they're saying is something different than what we've heard before. They've talked about divestiture to CNS, 400 stores or so. You and I have talked about this before, saying that's not enough stores for this to really happen. But also what the FTC is saying is they're not sure that CNS can handle it. If we saw the same thing when SuperValu took over Albertsons, another wholesaler. That was a failure. We also saw when Hagen, who had 18 stores, took over close to 200 Albertson Vaughn stores. That was a failure. So that's part of what the FTC is saying. The other thing that they're saying, and it's the first time that we're hearing it, is that it's going to eliminate the competition between Kroger and Albertsons. And that's something that really could drive up higher prices. And also, one thing that I was very surprised at this ruling, is that they're saying that loss of competition will lead to lower quality products and services. And that's something that we haven't heard before.
And when this merger was announced, the rationale for Kroger and Albertsons combining their operations was that this was meant to keep Walmart and Amazon at bay. And clearly the feds are saying, no, that's not the case.
Yes. And you're exactly right. And the problem is that, you know, frankly, when Kroger and Albertsons, if they combine their store brands, that's over 35,000 different products. It also puts them in a very powerful way and making them, you know, one of the largest consumer packaged goods companies in the U.S. So I'm not sure that anybody ever thought about eliminating the competition between Kroger and Albertsons, which has led to lower prices in the markets where they do compete. Like here in California, they're major competitors. So the FTC is very concerned that not having them compete with each other is going to drive up prices. It's not going to stave off Walmart. The Walmart shopper is not necessarily a Kroger and Albertson shopper. Amazon, you know, we're still looking at most of Amazon's business, frankly, being, you know, shipping, not in store. So I'm not sure what the impact of that's going to be. I did think, going back a year and a half ago, that in this divestiture, what we would see is we would see Amazon picking up a couple hundred stores because they want to expand Amazon Fresh, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
What is going to happen now? Will Kroger and Albertson, will they go back to the drawing board and come up with a different divestiture plan, or will they just walk away from each other?
No, I think that the price of walking away is too high for Kroger. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars that they would have to pay. So I think they're going to give it at least one more shot, and part of it is going to be the divestiture plan, being able to go beyond C&S to other retailers who might pick up 20, 30, 40 stores. Here in California, you've got Gelson's, you've got Bristol Farms, you've got Raley's, who can really get some of these great, great locations for hopefully good prices to help them. But I really think that Kroger and Albertson's execs right now, you know, are really scratching their head, saying, okay, how are we going to prove that not having each other as competitors are not going to raise prices? That's the big issue for the FTC. And if they can come up with a solution for that and prove it, then it might get back on track. If they can't, it's dead in the water.
Phil Lempert, founder of SupermarketGuru.com in Los Angeles, thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday. Helping us out today is Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist and Lucas Giolito's biggest fan at B. Riley Financial in New York. Art, thank you for joining us today. Before we go into your stock picks for the week, how are some former ex-White Sox doing in Red Sox camp?
Well, I got to tell you, so far it's spring training, only a couple games in over the weekend, and they're looking pretty in good shape, I would say. And the switch from White to Red Sox, I think, is going to suit them very well this season. We have high hopes.
Yeah, Lucas Giolito and Liam Hendricks setting up the East Coast version of 35th and Shields. So let's talk about your stock picks for today. Two selections. Your first one, I've been in radio for 25 years, and I can hear their jingle in my sleep.
Yeah, so AutoZone, and you need to get in the zone, Rob. You really do.
Yes.
But I tell you this. One thing we really like about this company and its chart over the last 5 years is that they're a consistent buyback company, right? So they've got a corporate buyback. They reissue it every time they report. They're going to report earnings on Thursday. They've consistently beat estimates, and the big piece of that is the aging of the fleet of internal combustion cars that we have right now. So the age of the cars and how often we have to go in and replace things like our batteries and our windshield wipers and everything else they do. Traded a very reasonable forward PE of 18, and that goes down after they report because they're going to announce another buyback. They have nice margins. The gross margin is about 52%, and their net margins come in at about 15%. They're the highest in the auto shop business in the country. Real well-run company in Memphis, Tennessee, and we've been big fans of these guys for a long time. They're on our focus list.
AutoZone AZO, and then your next selection is from the American natural gas space, which has been one of the more interesting stories of the past year.
Yeah, it certainly has. So with nat gas coming down from 330 a couple of months ago to 160, clearly a big move in the what we like to refer to as the widowmaker of all the commodities, which is natural gas. But LNG is a different story. So when we look at LNG, it clearly plays an important role both domestically and globally. We are the largest exporter of LNG to the world, and we just took on that role at the end of last year. And Cheniere Energy is one of the biggest players in the country. They have the most capacity, both intake of gas, liquefaction, and export terminals. And I think that's something that can continue to grow. So when we look at this company, you know, energy's a bit out of favor this year. These folks are doing a great job and really shouldn't be as connected to the natural gas prices. As a matter of fact, that's an input for LNG, and the spreads are quite wide. They run great margins, about 80% on the gross level, about 60% on the net level. They pay a nice 2% dividend, and it trades at a very skinny PE multiple of 16 times. So we're big fans of LNG. I think they got a lot of runway in front of them.
Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley Financial in New York. Thank you for joining us today. His selections, AutoZone AZO and Cheniere Energy LNG.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.